Tau, Alpha, Chi, Tau, Omega, Ho, Protos, Chi, Ho, Eskatos, He, RK, Chi, Tau, Telos. I could teach the whole class of this verse right here. If those of you who have been here, what is this saying here? It says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. Who's speaking?
Jesus
is speaking. All right? He said, I am the first, I am the last. The book of Enoch just completely just goes through this over and over and over again about the Alpha and Omega, the ancient one, the one of ancient days. And in the first part of the book of Revelation also, and in the first chapter of the book of Hebrews, it talks about the Alpha and the Omega. The Alpha and the Omega is Jehovah God. That's who it is. Jehovah Witnesses have a lot of trouble with these verses. They skirt around them. They run from them. They do whatever they can do to get away from it, because this is saying that Jesus is the Almighty God of Heaven. And if you translate this from Hebrew, it's talking about Jehovah Elohim. It says, I, the Alpha and the Omega. I am the Alpha Greek. That's the first letter of the Greek alphabet. And Omega is the last. And he said, the first and the last. And also it says the beginning. The word beginning there means absolute eternity. Before anything was, Jehovah God was. And Jehovah God is known to us today as Jesus. All right? Jehovah means what? He who shall become. Where is the Jehovah title in the New Testament fulfilled? John 1:14. And the Jehovah flesh became and dwelt among us in the person of Jesus Christ. That's who he was. The beginning, kaikotinos, and the end. All right? Revelation 1:8, Revelation 1:7, Revelation 2:8, 21:6, Isaiah 44:6, Isaiah 48:12. These all reference this verse right here. It's talking about Jehovah God that became flesh. Makarioi, poi, plonontes, hos, stolos, auton, hina, eshai, he, exousia, auton, epi, to, zulon, he, zoes, kai, tois, pelusum. All right. Ace Elfo. No, I have to turn my page over. Ace El Thusen. Ace Cain Polin. Blessed or happy, the ones washing. The word washing there, what kind of action is that in that verb? Or actually participle.
Present participle?
Uh-huh. Present participle, continuing. The one washing the robes of them, in order that it shall be the authority of them over the tree of life. They'll be guarding the tree of life and the gates. You have an occupation if you're born again and you're saved and you're faithful to God. You're going to be over something. You're going to have authority over something in the eternal ages to come. I was reading the last week the book of Enoch and him describing heaven and the eternal heavens, and he said that God would take him up there. Now, whether or not this is all complete revelation from God, we do not know. We know that Enoch was a prophet of God. How much of this that has come down in its purest form, we don't know. But he's got some wonderful things in there that agree with the rest of the Bible. Some of it is really some weird stuff in there. All right? Either he's wrong or a lot of other people are wrong, one or the other. Bullinger, G.H. Pember, a few of them believed in Enoch's prophecies so much that they interpreted the Bible in certain ways corresponding to what he believed. Enoch named seven archangels that the Jews believe in, the seven archangels. He names them all. And what they do and what part they play in eternity and in time and in place. He names the ones that are over certain, and he names the ones that are over repentance, that trouble you when you're doing wrong. These are neat things. That's something to look at. Anyway, blessed are the ones washing the robes of them, and over that it shall be the authority of them over the tree of life and the gates. They may enter into the city. All right. In order that they may enter into the city. These people are over there. And you can read back in Genesis 2 and 9 and 3:22, and there's a lot of cross-references to this. Now, those outside of this blessed and beautiful, glorious vision that we have received here are in eternal hell. And it is real. The only difference between those on the inside and those on the outside in file 13 is the blood of Jesus Christ.
Same God.
But the blood of Jesus Christ does have effect upon your life.
Amen.
Don't name Christ if you're a thief and a murderer and a prostitute and a homosexual. Don't do it. Because God is going to name that right now. You, when Christ is in your life changes. And it starts naming the things that are outside in hell. He delineates that which is in hell. It says outside, exo, and the adverb, page 148. That little adverb. Outside, the ones, homosexuals, male prostitutes. It says dogs.
Mm-hmm.
That's the act of homosexuality among males. He names it very plainly. And you can refer back to Deuteronomy 23:18, Genesis 38, verse 21. We get the word canine from this, by the way. And the ones, drug addicts. You know what? They didn't really know what this term was back then. Pharmakia. Our word pharmacy comes from this.
Where did they get sorcerers from?
Because sorcerers, witches and things always have a witch's brew.
Potions.
It's the potions have drugs in them. Okay? That's another thing. Drug addicts. Literally, it means drug addicts. But witches were drug addicts in times of old. Okay? And the ones, pornoi. What's that word come from? Our word pornography.
Pornography.
Okay.
Pornography.
Those addicted to pornography.
Is it a practicer of evil?
Yeah. Fornication. Crooked fornication. That which is crooked. That which is not normal. If you want to go back to Romans, the first chapter, we could spend another whole day on this verse right here. Just like we said in the other one. If you go back to Romans, the first chapter, God tells us exactly why these people are like they are. Because they are reprobate. What does reprobate mean?
They stand against.
They deny the faith. They have denied the truth. And chose error and lie instead of the truth. They have denied it. They have known it and they have walked away from it. Fornicators. All right? And the ones murderers. Can a murderer be saved?
Yes.
But he's no longer a murderer, is he? He's not going to go out killing people again. I remember a man in my life that was worked for the CIA. And he was a killer. And he drank himself nearly to death. He was a good man, so to speak. A religious man, so to speak, somewhat. But he was a hired killer for the United States government. And he would go into different places and murder people that they would set up. Wherever they said they wanted a man killed in Central America or South America or something, Robbie would go and kill him. And he would cry and see the faces of people that he had murdered for pay. He didn't know them. Except, you know, have you ever watched James Bond or some of these movies? The mechanic, things like that, where they went and killed people. Well, Robbie did it. He went, finally he did this for several years, and he took his money and stayed drunk for years, drinking himself into oblivion. But he was a murderer. A murderer. But murderers can be saved. But they are no longer murderers, do they? They give up their habits. Homosexuals can be saved, but they are no longer homosexuals. Prostitutes can be saved, but they're no longer prostitutes. Drug addicts can be saved, but they're no longer drug addicts. And then it says, and the ones idolaters. And we're in Revelation 22 and verse 15, Brother Bill. And the young lady with you. I don't know who you're. Is that your daughter?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's been hard to get along today.
The murderers and the ones idolaters and everyone loving constantly and making the lie, living a hypocrisy, a life of hypocrisy, professional liars. Why? In the last several years, I got a real good education among the people called lawyers. Professional liars. They lie for a profession. It beats all I've ever seen. I couldn't believe it. It's just beyond my understanding. It was really an education I didn't want. But I'm acquainted with it. Revelation 22 and verse 16. Egel. Jesus, Epemphsah, Tone, Angelon, Mu, Matur Rese, Hemen, Kauta, Epi, Pais, Ecclesias, Ego, Amy, Hay, Ritsa, Kai, Tol, Ginas, David, Ho, Aster, Pol, Lampros, Pol, Proinos. I, Jesus. Who is the Alpha? Who is the Omega? Who is the beginning? Who is the end?
Jesus.
All right. Who is this Jehovah God?
Jesus.
That's right. This is Him. I, Jesus, I have sent the messenger of me to witness to you, to ye, these things over the churches. I am the root. Where was Jesus born? Nazareth. Well, I mean, where he was raised in Nazareth. Nazareth means root. And it means root out of dry ground, by the way. I am, Ego Amy, Exodus 3:14. Who did Moses say sent him?
I am.
I am. Who was speaking to Moses?
The Lord.
Jehovah God was speaking to Moses. And Jesus told the Jews that he was talking to, in John the 8th chapter and John the 10th chapter, he told them that he was Jehovah God and they wanted to kill him. Jesus was crucified because he said that he was the Almighty God of heaven, come down into flesh. That's why he was crucified.
That's right.
The Jews crucified him, and that is the guilt they put upon his,
that's right,
over his head. The book of Matthew, Taramahu, the first gospel that you come to in the New Testament, gives the lineage of Jesus through Joseph. Who was on the throne of Israel? Herod. And whose descendant was he? Esau's descendant. He was the wrong man on the throne. The man that was supposed to have been on the throne was Joseph's descendant, except there was a problem with that. There was one son of Solomon that was cursed, and he was in that line. Now, Jesus was the legal heir to the throne of Israel, but if he had actually done that one, he would have been accursed. Now, Luke, in Luke's gospel, it gives you another lineage of Jesus, doesn't it? And in the book of Matthew, and it says in the lineage of Joseph, which was the husband of Mary. Alright? Because Jesus was the firstborn of Mary, and he should have been the heir, and he would have been the heir because Joseph was his stepfather, so to speak. God became flesh through Jesus. Luke now tells us a different lineage. And that is the lineage of Mary. Jesus is related to all of us through the seed of the woman. And the seed of the woman had no sin. Simple as that. I, Jesus, I have sent the messenger to witness to you these things over to the churches. I am the root, and I am the genealogy, the genus, the seed of David. Now, he was the seed of David through Mary. Alright? The seed, or the offspring, and it says, the bright and the morning star. The bright and the morning star. Also, again, Enoch, in his prophecy, talks about the bright and the morning star. He talks about in the eternal ages how that God's people will be of different glory. Some of us have shined real bright on earth when we're here serving the Lord, and some of us have been real dark, real dim, you know. And my wife said the other day to me, she said, "You were really faithful." And I said, "I try to be faithful. I don't consider myself faithful to God, but I try to be. I try to be a good example." But Enoch says that God will make all of his people like shining stars. Some are brighter and more intense than others in the eternal ages. Some are closer to the glory throne, and some are further away. That was real outstanding for me to talk about the eternal rewards like he did, because this is what I thought about it all the time from all I gathered in Scripture. And it says in 17, Kai, Tol, Numa, Kai, Hei, Nymphane, Lagusan, Erko, Kai, Tol, Akuon, Epato, Erko, Kai, Tol, Dixon, Erkesto, Ho, Dilon, Labeto, Hidor, Zoes, Zuram. And the Spirit, look at that. The Spirit and the Bride, they say, "You come." Look at the word Spirit. What does that word Spirit come? It comes from the word Nuol, doesn't it? And that means wind. Now, we don't understand Spirit much. But we can understand wind because we know wind blows, but we can't see it. Huh? You can see what it does. You can see what it picks up. You really can't see the wind. That's like the Spirit of God and the Spirit of man. The Lord said that when he left this earth, and this was a promise, this is a holy promise, and this is a promise so many people in the religious world do not understand, and it's a promise also that draws division. Matthew, the 16th chapter, verse 18, the Lord speaking to Peter and then to his assembly says, "You are Peter, but upon this gigantic rock I shall be building my assembly, and the gates of hell shall not wrestle her down." He told them, Matthew 28, 18 through 20, that he would be with them always until the end of this age. And in the eternal ages to come, the physical manifest heirs of God on this earth will be the nation of Israel. Any discrepancy there? But the spiritual wife of God will be that double-blooded church. Double-blooded church. What in the world does that mean, Brother Carr? Twice-blooded. Twice-blooded. Born again, and then called from the family of God into covenant administrative relationship with the Lord. And those that are faithful, that twice-blooded group will rule and reign with Him. Man, what a play. And that's what it's talking about here.
That could be soon.
Well, it could be. Well, yeah. There's going to be 7 years of hell on earth after He calls us up. So that out of here, there's going to be a terrible time on this earth. 3.5 years of that is going to be unbearable. The first 3.5 years is going to be nothing but a salesmanship. You know, have you realized in this world today how many salesmen there are out there and how many workers there are? Now and then somebody is working, but everybody else is a salesman. Huh. Isn't that right, Brother Bill? We got car salesmen, we got every kind of salesman you can think of. You can't even answer your phone without an electronic salesman trying to sell you something. And the Spirit and the Bride. The word bride there literally means bridal chamber. It means the bridal bed. Nymphae. That's the word. They brought this over in the English, women that are hardly or very much attracted to men are called nympho. That's where this word comes from this word right here. It means bridal. It means a bridal chamber. And the most innermost chamber of God is where His bride will be with Him. And they say, the Spirit of God and the bride, they say together, you come. And the one hearing, let him say, you come. And the one thirsting, let him come. And the one wishing or wanting to, let him receive the water of life freely. All down through the history of mankind. And by the way, I don't think Enoch was a 5-point Calvinist by any means. Because he, in his writing, says over and over again, God will not force a man to be saved, but He provides the way of salvation. He provides the escape from hell. But He doesn't force anybody to be saved. It's not God's way. You know, God is a sovereign being. What's sovereign mean? Amen. He can do whatever He wants to. This is His joint. We're in here. He can do anything with this world that He wants to.
That's right.
And whatever it is, it's right. Isn't it? Because it's His.
That's right.
Now, you may take your house and knock all the walls out of it and make it round. And if you want to do that, that's fine because it's yours. It's yours. And you can do that. You have the authority to do it. Well, this is God's world and God's universe, and He made it all. And whatever He wants to do with it is okay and it is right because He owns it. And He made man in His image. And His blood flowing not likeness, His physical image, and His spiritual image, that man would be an eternal being, actually. And that he had brains and thinking ability like God. And that he had a volition, a will. He was sovereign like God is. God is not going to make you be saved. He's not going to force it upon you. But He provides for it. He does the convicting through the Holy Spirit of God to draw you to Him, but He doesn't drag you by the hair of the head and just drag you there like some caveman. That's not the kind of dragging that He does. He draws you to Him. One thirsting and the one wishing. The word wishing there, that word comes from philo, and that means spiritual activating force. That means to wish what is inside of you, wishing. Let him receive water of life freely. Well, how many of you ever had a free lunch? One of them. Let me tell you something. Let me say again. How many of you ever had a free lunch? I've never had a free lunch in my life. Never had a free lunch, nor any free meal, because it cost somebody something. It was not free. All right? It cost that salesman something, didn't it? I used to have a lot of salesmen come to me when I was a foreman in management at Ace Hydraulic Company, and they would buy me a lunch. But I had to listen to them all the time they were buying me lunch, trying to sell me something. All right? And they were hoping that I would buy something. I had one salesman that came all the way from way up the corner of Oregon all the way in Washington, and he would bring me back. He would bring me a big box of smoked salmon every time. And I would let him buy things for me. That's what I was doing, selling things to him. He wanted me to save all my junk iron and old pump parts and stuff, and then I'd buy pump parts from him. And we were just really happy, and I liked salmon. And meanwhile, all that smoked salmon, that was a gratuity, but they cost somebody something. It wasn't free. Now, salvation, we say, is free. It's free to us. But it sure wasn't free to the Lord. Jehovah God became flesh and gave everything for it. He suffered for every sinner in the whole world. And I do not believe, and I don't believe the Bible seeks to limit its atonement. Some people say that Jesus Christ only died for those that would be saved. But he says he died for all men. All means all. Not only for a man, but according to John 3:16, for the whole universe to buy it back. Everything. Every bird feather. Every rock. Every leaf. Every tree. Every fabric of anything in the whole universe, Jesus Christ died to buy it back. I want to say this one thing too. Just because Jesus died for you doesn't make that death efficacious automatically. And what in the world does that mean? It's not effective. The unpardonable sin in the Bible is the rejection of Jesus Christ. You will not be forgiven for that sin in this life or in the life to come. That's when God calls you to salvation and you won't go. There are a lot of people in the world today trying to be saved their way. They have their own religion. They carry a Bible. They believe their way. It's not going to work. It's either God's way or no way. And unless you repent of those sins that we talked about a while ago and a whole lot more, stealing and lying and all of these things, unless you repent of that and you call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, you have no salvation. It's not. I don't care how much you carry your Bible around, how much you quote the Bible, or what you do, if you don't believe in the God of the Bible, the blood of Jesus Christ is not efficacious to you.
Amen.
Brother Lee Kuster was talking to me the other day. He said, but you know, I said, I was reading A.W. Pink the other day. I said, that was a great man. He was a little old, unknown preacher in England. Pastored a little old tiny flock there and wrote prolifically all of his life and preached, but never was heard of anywhere. Now, any preacher in the world has heard of A.W. Pink. Did you know that?
He was a Greek scholar, wasn't he?
Greek and Hebrew. He did a lot of studying and writing. And it affected a lot of people's lives.
And he pastored a small church.
Yeah, he pastored a little old bitty nothing church.
Oh.
They wouldn't have heard of him. Nobody knew of him even until after he died and they discovered this gold mine of writings in his library. And he said in one of his writings, what is true repentance and what is believing in God? If a man is truly believes and a man is truly saved, when you come upon the doctrines of the Trinity and the Jehovah in the flesh, you will accept that. Because the Spirit of God will bring you to that. He said you will accept the doctrines, the basic doctrines, all the basic doctrines of the Bible. You will not refute them. You will not refute baptism. You will not refute the purpose of the Lord's Supper. You will not refute or fight against any of these basic biblical doctrines and truths. Because you're His. You're not going to fight against God. The proof that a man is not saved is that he will not accept the truths in God's Word. That's proof that he is not saved. John, in 1 John, says, these things, little children, I write unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. You might know that you have eternal life. If you have eternal life, do you fight the Bible? Do you fight the God of the Bible? Do you have arguments with the God of the Bible? If you do, you're a fool. Do you try to tell him that you should have done this? You should have done, I don't believe the way you did this or the way you did that is right? Fighting with God?
Sometimes we try, I think.
Sometimes our actions speak louder than words, huh? Maturo. Ego. Fonte. To. Aconte. Tus. Logos. Teis. Propheteos. Tu. Biblio. Tuto. Eon. Tis. Epithe. Epta. Epithese. Ep. Alton. Ho. Theos. Tas. Plegos. Tas. Gegra menos. M. To. Biblio. Two told.
There's some words in there that we didn't have.
There are?
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't have an L? Look at that. I witness. To every the one hearing the words of the prophecy of the book this. Jesus said, I am that I am. To Moses at the burning bush. And right here, he double, you know, he's not an egomaniac, but he says, I witness. To every, the one hearing the words of the prophecy of the book this, if anyone may add upon them, this is a curse here, people. This is a hard, hard curse. If anyone, the book this, what is it talking about?
The Bible.
First of all, primarily,
Revelation.
The book of Revelation.
Yes, sir.
The book of Revelation is like the last chapter in the Bible, so to speak. Let's look at it. I witness to every, the one hearing, the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone... He may add. Now look at that word, third person singular, second aorist, subjunctive active. Subjunctive means what? That it might happen. It
might happen.
It's a possibility of happening. All right. He may add to place upon something else upon the book of Revelation than what it is. Augustine didn't like the book of Revelation. So he spiritualized the way book. He did. He said this all is historical. It's already happened in the past. It doesn't have anything to do with us today.
Constantine said that back then?
No, Augustine.
Augustine.
Yeah. John Calvin. Martin Luther. Martin Luther called for the extinction of every Jew in Germany. Martin Luther did. I'm not talking about Hitler now. I'm talking about Martin Luther.
Why did he?
Because he said that they were rampant and ravaging wolves against God and his plans. And that God was finished with Israel, and he would never have anything to do with them again. And yet the Bible over and over again keeps saying what? Israel will come back. He will bring them back to him. The whole purpose of the tribulation period is to bring Israel back to God, nation of Israel.
That's right.
Last week we studied about something, and it just scared the way out of you, I think. Didn't it? Last week, we talked about how that Satan is in power of the whole world. That every nation on this earth is Satan's. It is not God's. God doesn't have a nation on this earth. Except Israel, and it's run by devils today. The only nation God has ever had in this world is Israel. That's his only nation, and most of the time it was run by devils. And God interceded occasionally and turned it around, didn't he? Well, he's going to intercede real strong right here.
Amen.
I mean, the whole reason for the tribulation period is to bring Israel back to God, and they will be his nation again, and they will be the administrators of God's kingdom on earth. And I don't want to be there. Do you? The Jehovah's Witnesses keep saying they want to go to the kingdom, they don't want to go to heaven. They want to go to the kingdom, they're going to have to go through the tribulation period. And they're going to have to go through the rapture. They're going to have to look back and say, oh, I was wrong. I denied Jehovah God. I wasn't his witness. I denied him. And then they'll go through the tribulation period, and some of them might be saved then. But what's going to happen to those that are saved then? 5 out of every 6 people in the world is going to, what's going to happen to them?
They're killed.
They're going to be murdered. Yep. Beheaded. Their head chopped off.
Yes.
Strong stuff. Well, it says that God is going to add something to these people that add something to his book. In 22 and verse 18b, it said, he shall add upon him. He shall add upon him the God, the plagues. Plagos. We get our word plague right out from the Greek word plagos. Okay? The plague. The plagues. Having been written in the book of this. The great Bible scholar, probably one of the greatest Bible scholars that the world has ever known, and most of the world has forgotten him. His name was John A. Broadus. He was the father-in-law of Archibald Thomas Robertson, A.T. Robertson. Most everything that A.T. Robertson has in print, he's dead too now. Almost everything that he has in print came from his father-in-law, John A. Broadus. And John A. Broadus, in his preparation to deliver his sermon, wrote, I want you to look at this Revelation 22 and verse 18. He said, I want to encourage you to be honest Bible students. And he said, you cannot be an honest Bible student unless you know the original language from which the Bible came. Well, can you, Brother Carl?
No.
That's why you're here, isn't it, brother?
Amen.
All right. He said, you cannot be an honest Bible student unless you know Hebrew and Greek.
Amen.
Now, who's he preaching to? Or who's he speaking to? Who was John A. Broadus speaking to? Seminary students. Preachers that were to preach and feed the flock of God. Who has the greatest judgment in the world?
Teachers of the Word. From James 3.
Yeah. Yes. I shudder when I think about this.
Yes.
I do. That's what I'm doing right now. Who's your teacher?
That's right.
It scares me to death. Because I know that I'm going to answer to the God of heaven. And I better get it right.
That's right.
You want to know why I learned Greek and Hebrew? What Johnny Brooks said. That's exactly why. I was one of the first books I ever read. The Preparation Delivery of Sermons by John A. Broadus. Young man, you are worth your calling if you do not study the languages of the Bible, because the Bible is not inspired in any other language. Study these languages. And then when you preach, don't preach and try to teach a sermon that you want the Bible to teach. You preach what the Bible says. Don't you use it for a diving board. You preach the Bible.
Senior, will you repeat that? You are not worth what?
You are not worth your calling. Not worthy of your calling. If you do not learn Greek and Hebrew and the inspired languages of the Bible that the Bible was written in. You're not worthy of the calling of God unless you take time to do that. That inspired me to study Greek and Hebrew. I have 9 years of Greek in class and 6 years of Hebrew in class, and I have been teaching and studying those languages ever since then, and that's been over 30 years. I was talking to Phil Neighbors and Brother Larry, I guess Sunday night, and Phil asked me, he said, Jim, he said, how many students have you taught Greek and Hebrew to? I said, I don't really know. I said, there's been a solid stream of them in Valley Baptist Church for the last 7 or 8 years. There's somebody, I have hardly taken even a break in the summertime. Because it is a calling of God. John A. Broadus called that to my attention. And not only do I teach Greek in here, but I do teach Hebrew too, though. Mm-hmm. And the Hebrew language and teach and even in the Sunday school classes that I teach, even in church history or parables or whatever. Because the Bible was inspired in those languages. It says, and he shall add upon these people, this God, the plagues, these things having been written in this book. Joseph Smith, over 200 years ago, was born in this world and he thought he was a prophet of God. And somehow or another he latched on to a man by the name of Solomon Spaulding, his manuscript of Paradise Lost. And he named it the Book of Mormon. Charles Taze Russell had a new light, a new millennial dawn, that the millennium was coming soon. Ellen White had a revelation from God. She says that every mankind had departed from the truth and had strayed, and that they had profaned his Sabbath. Herbert Armstrong said the gospel hadn't been preached for 1,800 years. They're all liars because they have gone against the Word of God. The Word of God says that His churches would be through all of these ages that we live in today. That it would not go out of existence. That it would do its job. And I'm here to tell you and testify to you tonight that that church is still in existence today and it never went out of existence all down the
line. Amen.
Never has. Not because of them, but because of the God who called them. Why do you serve God? Because the unction that you have that draws you to God, that gives you the want to and the will and the ability to do it. Last Sunday morning I preached with pneumonia. My wife says, don't go to church today. You can't go to church today. I said, well, I'm going anyway. I said, God doesn't... missed one day sick, not preaching. That was the morning that I had an intestinal blockage. And I was dying, and I couldn't get up. I couldn't get in the car. And I said, then I felt real bad about that because I didn't die. So I should have been dead if I didn't get here. Only excuse. God has always stood by me when I do that. I'm sick tonight. Many of you are sick. My wife is sick tonight. But we come for one reason, to glorify God. Brother Bill.
I was just trying to thought, Jim. Something that, when I was reading this the other night, studying back there, the 144,000 are going to be descendants from the 12 tribes.
Mm-hmm.
Is the genealogy still there, or will this just be people that will say, I'm, in other words, God above the record will say, you're from this tribe, you're from this tribe, you're from this.
Try to finish this book tonight. We only got 2 pages to go. And if anyone may take away from the words of the book this prophecy, he shall take away the God, his part from the tree of life, and out of the city, the holy city, and the things having been written in this book. Judgment. This is a curse. This curse primarily is upon the book of Revelation. But also, since the book of Revelation is the final chapter in the whole Bible, there are 66 books in the Bible, and this is one of those chapters right here. It means the whole book. Be careful with the Word of God. Be careful with it. As you study it at home, that thing is volatile, people. You know the Word of God brings people to salvation?
Amen.
I listened to part of a sermon, the third sermon I ever preached in my life, and it wasn't worth listening to. But 5 people were saved when I preached that sermon. 7 ducks and a muddy stream. How dumb. But it was the Word of God, and it's powerful. Sharper than any knife that's made upon earth. It says even dividing against spirit and soul. Legate. Ho. Baturion. Tauta. Ne. Erkamai. Taksu. Amen. Erku. Kurie. Asi. Asu. I'm going to read the rest of them here. He. Paris. Tu. Kurio. Asu. Meta. Tomtom. And he says, the one witnessing these things. Yes. Come quickly. Amen. John witnessed what we have read in this book. This has been one of the most enjoyable studies that I've ever taught. The book of Revelation. I believe it's the best study that I've ever done in Revelation. I've taught it several times before, but this is my best one. It is a beautiful book. There's some beautiful things in it and some horrible things. And the beautiful things are true and the horrible things are true. And the curses are true and the blessings are true. Because it is the Word of God. And John said, yes, come quickly. What does the word toxic there mean? Toxic? Quickly. In a hurry, suddenly. Yes, come suddenly. Amen. You come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus with all. The grace of the Lord Jesus. What's the word grace? Charis.
unmerited favor from
unmerited
God
favor.
Toward sinners who didn't deserve anything.
Yeah. Every one of us, if we're saved at all, we're saved by charis, grace.
Right.
This free gift that is not free, except it's free to us. It didn't cost us anything, but it cost Jehovah God everything. It cost Him everything. Jesus was sent into this world and became a little helpless child. And Herod tried to murder Him. Satan was dogging His trail all of His life. Dogged His trail all His life, and finally, at the cross of Calvary, Jesus said in Hebrew, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. Psalm 22 and verse 1. My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? And we can answer, because of us. He was our kinsman redeemer. According to Luke, Jesus was related. Jesus, Jehovah saves, that's what His name means. He was Jehovah God of heaven. And He came down to earth, poured out all of His glory and deity that He had forever, and became flesh to redeem us. So that we might have, might, subjunctive mode. It should be optative, brother.
Optative?
Optative.
Now, what's optative? Yeah, what's that?
That's undetermined but loose. Hope of termination.
Hmm.
Okay? Very rare mode in the New Testament, by the way. See it a few times. It's even in the book of Jude. You'll see it in there. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want it to be with all of you, He said. And then He asked that the Lord would come back soon. Our prayer ought to be for the return of the Lord.
Amen.
This world has nothing to offer us, really.
Sorry.
Except greed. While we live in the devil's territory, in his playground, God protects us. We don't think sometimes that He's even there. You know, I mean, the world gets real rough, doesn't it? And we don't even know, how far is the Lord from you? He's always there. But I'm going to tell you something about this idiot that's even closer to something like that, and that's the devil. You're in his house right now.
But we've got victory over Satan because of Christ's resurrection.
Mm-hmm. But this is not God's ground today. Where you sit tonight in this ecclesia, this is God's ground. But when you walk out the doors of this church and disassemble tonight, you're in the devil's world. And God has to intercede and come down here and throw stumbling blocks in Satan's way to protect you. Boy, what a horrible place we live in. How have you ever been in a penitentiary? I mean, not,
not as a prisoner.
How many of you ever gone to San Quentin or what's that, Alcatraz?
I went to Fort Madison, Iowa. And they had so much security, you wouldn't believe it. I remember walking across the grounds. There was a man with a rifle up on the tower. And I got strict orders to do certain things. And when I did see this prisoner, there was a net or kind of a fence between us. And we talked to him.
You know what? That prison atmosphere that you were in was just exactly like we're in today, except there's devils guardians all around us. How many devils, how many demons are at the calling of Satan? There was a Gadarene demoniac there at the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus crossed over. This Gadarene demoniac came out there. How many demons were called to keep this man under guard? At least 6,000, 8,000? Demons guarding one helpless victim. In prison. If you're not saved tonight, you are a prisoner.
Amen.
Of Satan. You're a prisoner. You don't know it, but you're a prisoner in solitary confinement. Solitary confinement to Satan himself being with you. The only thing that will ever set you free is the blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your attention. Thank you for those of you that have come all the way through the book of Revelation. I think, Brother Bill, you've been almost all the way through.
Except for when we had the babysitter. I want to apologize. My daughter's going to college in the summer. I can't get in any sooner, so I haven't missed last Sunday because of him. And we just made it this week. But, no, Jim, you know what? This has been one of the most enlightening classes. I think it's positively probably... I would put it maybe in the same category as the church history, which I want to pick again. I have found out that I have been preached to for 20-something years, and the guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I've had guys talk to me about this and say...
What convinced you of that, Brother Bill?
Read the scripture.
That's right. The Word of God.
Yeah.
The Word of God, if you will correspond to it, will lead you out of all error.
Amen.
If you will correspond to it. Martin.
When you teach this next class, is it going to be in Greek too?
Yeah. And this class will be in Greek, and we're going to start... I don't think we're going to have church next Wednesday, are we? I don't think so.
Vacation
Bible School, they never have church on Wednesday night, so we won't be here next Wednesday.
The following Wednesday,
we'll be studying the book of Jude, and I'll bring you some copies of the book of Jude, and you can look at that. We're going to take a couple of weeks off or so during the summertime, and I think that I'll have Brother Ken teach you.
Don't tell him that quick.
Well, somebody might show up, you know, that I don't want to miss them. I don't want to leave them hanging out there and not have somebody in this class. And thank you so much for your endurance.
I'm going to have this on tape. It's the last chapter.
I tell you, it is the most beautiful study. Most terrorizing study.
Would you, how come people, if they would study it like we have and see that it's there, how come people still say that it's speculation, myth, that it's just, I mean, I've heard anything from speculation and myth, or it's not true, you know, it's don't even know why it's in the Bible, you know, and I've heard every argument under the sun. I said, if you ever just sit down and translate, because if the rest of the Bible has been accurate all down through history and it's true, how can you not say that the Revelation is not true?
Because they don't want to. It does not fit into their theology. It doesn't fit into their theology, so they discount it. But the book of Revelation is extremely important. We've studied this thing verse by verse all the way through. And I thank you. Do you know how monumental this book is? Now, if you want to study this again, I've got all this on tape and most of it on video. And you can get it and listen to it over and over again. You wear the tapes out. I've got people just wearing tapes out in different places. Listen to the tapes 10, 15, and 20 times. And said they learned something different every time. And sometimes that I've poured so much on you in just this period of time that you're in here that I know that you've got to go listen to it again on tape because I couldn't get it the first time. And it's been handed down to me from my teachers and everything that I can study and from every source that I can study to concentrate it. How many of you have concentrated orange juice at home? I've tried to make these studies concentrated. So they'll spread out for the rest of your life. Because I mean to tell you, I don't want to have to teach it again. If you want this class again, the book of Revelation, you can listen to it. I would enjoy doing it, but I want to teach other things. Because there's other things important too. And when I've got one thing down on tape, I may be like a late W. Pink one of these days. Everybody would be studying my stuff after I kick the bucket. And that'd be great. My wife's always worried that somebody's going to steal my work and publish it or do something like that. Well, thank God if they do. At least it'll go someplace. God bless all of you. Brother Bill, would you dismiss us in prayer?
Lord, we thank you for this today, Lord, especially for the church day. Lord, we thank you for the people that we came in contact with today, Lord, that they might get something from us. And Father, we pray for those here that we know physically, you know, for their health, Lord. And there's other things that I know on people's minds and prayers, Father. We just ask you to listen to them. We just thank you for this week and pray that you'll just go to see God and bless us this week, Lord. Unless you say to Jesus Christ, Lord, you know.